All right, so we're holding on Mentes Amud Aleph, third line. We talked yesterday about the shisin, about the underground cavity or channel under the Mizbeach, where we said that the wine and the water that were poured on the Mizbeach and the Sochim went into there. So now let's talk about more about the shisin. These shisin, this underground cavity or channel, was created during Sheish Simei Bereshis. So it's not something that human beings carved out. It's something that was there when Hashem created the world. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, so right now we're going to focus on the second half of the Pasuk, and then on Amud Beis we'll talk about the first half. The pasuk says Chamuke Yerechayich. Let's translate it literally first, and then Chamuke Yerechayich. The hidden parts of your thighs, Kamoy Chaloyim, are like jewels, Masi Yedei Oman, that were made by the hands of a craftsman. So what does it mean? So it's one of the psukim in Shir HaShirim praising the Jewish people. So Chamuke Yerechayich, the hidden parts of your thighs. Eidu Ashisin, that refers to the Shisin, which are hidden underground. It actually brings several psukim where we see that the Shoda Shaches Mem Kuf means to be hidden. One of them is actually in Shir HaShirim itself. Yerechayich then refers to something having to do with the Mizbeach, like you have Yerech HaMizbeach, the side of the Mizbeach. So the hidden parts of your Mizbeach are Kamoy Chaloyim, when we say they're like jewels. Now we're doubting the word Chaloyim, Shem Chalolin V'yodin Adatahayim. They're hollowed out and they go down all the way until the depths underground, until the underground water, or whatever's down there. And Masi, Yidei Oman, Zu Masi, Yidei Omanusi, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, and when it calls it the work of the hands of the craftsman, that means that it was the craftsmanship of Hashem himself. Rashi on the Pasuk also points out, the Marsha mentions it over here, that a Yerech is wound, and the Shisin were also wound. They were a round hole that went underground. So in that case, also, they can be compared to a Yerech, to a thigh. And Tanad Veda Bishmal, the very first word of the Torah, Bereshis, Al-Tikri Bereshis, El-Borashis. So in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, we're familiar with Borashis in a different sense over there, where Shis is Aramaic for six. And so he explains over there that it means that Hashem created the six midas and then used them to create the world. But here we're talking about shis, as in the shisin that we're talking about over here. So the very first word of the Torah hints at Hashem creating the shisin. There's a sicha once where the Rebbe talked about the deeper idea behind this. First of all, so you see that even on the first word of the Torah, you have an al-tikri, as we're saying over here. So that's meant to teach us, right from the beginning, don't look at the surface of things, look deep beneath, do al-tikri, and realize the deeper level of meaning that there is in everything that you see and everything that you hear. And particularly, over here, the word bereshis by itself, in the beginning, would indicate that in the beginning of the world, in other words, the world is a metzius of its own. Therefore, no, we're stressing bereshis, right at the beginning, we want you to know that Hashem created the foundation of the world. It doesn't just exist on its own. Okay. So that's one opinion how the shisin came to be. Rabbi Tanya, we learn it now. Now, in the next perek, Rashi refers to that. In the next perek, we're going to have something about Dovid HaMelech carving out the shisin. So obviously, that would disagree. So Rashi says, evidently, that would disagree with what we're saying over here, that Hashem carved them out. On the other hand, the Ritva says, maybe not. Maybe Hashem created them at Maaseh Bereishis, but over the years, they became stuffed up, and then when David came along, then he re-dug them out. Tanya, Rav Yosia, Meshisin Mechololin V'yodin Ad Jehoi. The shisin are hollow, and they go all the way down to the depths, like we just said. Shenemar, and we have a different pasuk where we see that point. Shenemar, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's the beginning of a long mashal that extends over several pasukim. But he starts off, Ashira na, I will sing now, lididi, on behalf of my friend, meaning Hashem. Shiras Dodi, I'm going to sing a song of my beloved, Lekarmoy, about his vineyard. And he starts describing them, the vineyard being a marshal for the Jewish people. Kerem Hoya Lejidi B'Kerem Ben Shaman. He says, my friend Hashem had a vineyard in a fat corner of the world, which means Eretz Yisrael, which is the fattest and most fertile of all lands. Vayaz Kehu, he surrounded it with a ring. The word Izka means a ring, so Vayaz Kehu means he surrounded it with a wall. In the Nimshal, it means that Hashem. So in the Nimshal, it means Hashem put the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. He gave them fortified cities surrounded by walls. Vayisaklehu, he got rid of the stones in the vineyard. So like a vineyard keeper does, where he gets rid of the stones in order that the vines will grow better. The same way, Hashem removed the other nations from there, the seven nations, so that the Jewish people would be able to grow uninterruptedly in Eretz Yisrael and not be seduced into Avedus by them. By Ehu Serdik, he planted it with a very good quality vine, which means it actually says refers to the Bis Mikdash. By Yivan Migdol B'Sirkei, he built a tower inside it. The Gemara is going to soon type out parts of the Moshul, but let's first learn the pasuk. By Yivan Migdol B'Sirkei, he built a tower in it. The Gam Yekev Chotzevoy, he also carved out a wine press in it. So let's understand those took him. By when it says he planted a good quality, top quality vine, and Rashi says not just a branch from another vine, the actual roots of the vine itself, that refers to the Bais HaMikdash, which is like the root of the Jewish people. So Zeb Bais HaMikdash. By even Migdol B'Sirkei Zeb Mizbeach, when it says he built a tower in it, refers to the Mizbeach, which is built strongly like a tower. And the Gam Yekev Chotzev Boy, when it says he also carved out a wine press in it, which is a hollow in the ground, Elo HaShisin, this refers to the Shisin. Now the word Yekev means a hollow in the ground. Marashah refers to that there's a slightly different versions of this Jerusha in Midrashim, where the Migdol refers to the Bis Mikdash and the Sirdik refers to the Jewish people themselves, etc. The point is still the same. In other words, that we're mentioning that Hashem carved out the Yekev over there, referring to this hollow in the ground into which the Nesachim go in. The Navi goes on to say, in other words, that the continuing the marshal that Hashem expected that such a vineyard would produce top quality grapes, and instead it didn't. It produced very inferior grapes. The Nimshal being that Hashem expected, after all that, the Jewish people would be on the highest level, and instead they're doing various averus, and Hashem is very disappointed. Anyway, the point is that we see also from this pasuk, Rabbi Yossi says that Hashem is the one who carved out the shisim. Here, Tosfos brings over. It's actually Tosfos brings a different gears over here. That Migdol is the Heichol and the Yekev is the Mizbeach. Because it says Gam Chotzev, Gam Yekev Chotzev Mitzaycho, so the Gam includes the Shisin as well. And then Marashah says, according to Rabbi Yossi, also what you might have is Hashem only that when Hashem created the world, then he created the Shisin, like we said before, but only to a certain depth. And then in the next parak, we're going to talk about how David carved it out. So in the first explanation, Hashem made it all the way down to the Tahoim, and then the Ritva is saying maybe David had to redig it, or Rashi is saying maybe that disagrees with our Gemara. Here we could say, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Hashem made it to a certain depth, and David dug it out even deeper. Now another opinion on it. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik, Lul Katan Hoya ben Kevesh LaMizbeach. There was a small window between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach. Now the Kevesh did not quite reach the top of the Mizbeach. There was a space between them because what it is the same way as the blood of Korbanos has to be thrown against the Mizbeach, that's Shnei Matanos Shnei Nava, for example, the same way the meat of the Korbanos, when it's thrown on the fire, has to be done from a distance. And therefore, there was a space between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach in order that they should have to do that. So in that space, Ben Kevesh and Mizbeach, Ma'arobesh or Kevesh, on the west side of the Kevesh, Rashi explains that the Kevesh was only half as wide as the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 32 amos wide. The Kevesh was only 16 amos wide. So you have a space of 8 amos on the side of the Mizbeach on each side of the Kevesh. So in that area, B'ma'arovish or Kevesh, on the west side of the Kevesh, there was a small hole. And when the Nesachim were poured on the Mizbeach, they would go down into that hole. And according to him, as we're going to say soon, it didn't necessarily actually descend all the way to the Tahoe. It may have been, Rashi described, that it had a marble floor, same as the rest of the Beis Mikdash, and therefore that the Nesachim would collect there over time, unlike what we were just saying, that it goes all the way down to the Tahoim, in which case, once you pour down the Nesachim there, then that's it, they're gone, and you're never going to see them again. If, on the other hand, the place that we're talking about, a hollow under the Mizbeach, has a floor underneath it, then eventually, over time, the wine is going to collect there. So, va'achas l'shivim shana, so once every 70 years, pirche kohona yodin l'sham, the young kohenim, who are more agile and they're more able to fit into smaller areas, they would go down there, umlachtin l'sham yayin kodosh, they would collect from there the congealed wine, shadomel igule dvela, by that time, after having been there all those years, it resembles cakes of pressed figs, it's all dried out and hardened. So they would collect it out of there, because otherwise you have to, because otherwise it's going to fill up, or it's going to be filled up over the years, and you're not going to be able to pour any more nesachim. Uvoin v'sorkenose b'kedusha, and then they would take this congealed wine and burn it in a holy place in the Azara, because it's still osabana. Shenema, because the pasuk, and we know that it has to be burned in the Azara. Shenema, because the pasuk says that kodesh in the holy place, hasech nesech sheikh. Pour a libation of intoxicating wine, meaning you're not supposed to have to use like fresh grape juice, you're supposed to use wine that actually has an alcohol content, Lashem, to Hashem. So therefore, by the word Bakodesh, we learn Kashem should be sukkah with Kusha, just like to begin with when it was poured on a Mizbeach, it had to be poured in a state of Kusha, Tachshay Fosse with Kusha. The same way the burning of it has to be done in a place of Kedusha. You don't take it outside the Beis Mikdash and burn it. You don't take it outside the Azara and burn it. So Rashi explains, we're not doubting from this pasuk that you have to take it out. That's a practical thing, because otherwise the shitsin are going to get full up. What we're learning from this pasuk is the detail about burning it. So Moses says, my mashma, where exactly do you see anything in this pasuk about burning it? Amar Avinah, Asya Kodesh Kodesh. We know it from Gzeirah Shava, we know it from Gzeirah Shava on the word Kodesh. Ksiv hacha b'kodesh, good morning, Ali. Ksiv hacha b'kodesh hasech nesech, top of them testament days. Ksiv hacha b'kodesh hasech nesech. Here we're saying that in the kodesh, you have to pour a libation of wine. Ochtiv hasem, you have a different pasuk about noser, the sarafdas, and noser ba'esh. You should burn the whatever's left over of a korban after the time in fire. Lo ye'ochel, it cannot be eaten, ki kodesh hu, because it is kodesh. So we see that over there, the fact that it's kodesh means that it has to be burned. So there we're mentioning the burning of it. And therefore, so here also, when it says that kodesh, hasech nesech, then it also means that the leftover wine, that this wine, that this congealed wine from over the years, also has to be burned. Okay. Now, the Gemara asks, so it comes out, in other words, that it comes out so far that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik is arguing with the previous explanations that the shisin into which the wine went all the way down to the Tahoim. If they went all the way down to the Tahoim, then it means that not only you shouldn't need to clean them out, but also it means, in other words, that wine is inaccessible. So now the Gemara asks, so on the other hand, we have a Mishnah that we're going to quote that seems to imply that it is accessible even after it was poured down there. So, Kaman Ozla Hod Tanya, it's not really, it's a Mishnah. Which opinion is, would we say that the following Mishnah follows? That a Mishnah in Me'ilah says, Nesachim v'tzachila moylem behem, the Nesachim, the wine, or in this case, or in our case, also the water, before you pour them on the Mizbeach, from when you makdish them until you pour them, then Me'ilah applies to them, as usual, with Kodshim. Yodel Shisin, but once they went down into the Shisin, Ein Moylem Behen, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to them anymore because now they're not needed for a Korban anymore. So, Leimer Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, would we have to say that's only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik? The Yudah Banan, because how could it go according to the Chachamim? According to the Chachamim, it went all the way down into the depths. So there's no possible, never mind whether Me'ilah applies or not. Practically speaking, how are you going to get a hold of it to possibly even do Me'ilah? And the answer is no, you could even say that Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim, because you could say b'di'iklat. Let's say, for example, a person hung a keli inside the shisin, and collected the, so when the wine is going down over there, usually it would go down and goes into the Sahoim and you never see it again. But let's say a person has a keli hanging over there inside the hollow. Or Rashi over there says, let's say also he can put his hand there, conceivably, and catch the wine as it's coming down. So then it's still accessible. Nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying, because the mitzvah was already done with it, therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply. As the Gemara is going to say soon, the general rule is, once a mitzvah has been done with something, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to it anymore. So that Mishnah could work according to the Chachamim as well. The Ikadamri, another version of the discussion, went the other way around. Lemer Rabbanan hi v'loy Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Would we have to say that that Mishnah is specifically according to the Rabbanan and not Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik? And in general, a Stam Mishnah we would like to have go according to all the Tanoim. The Rabbi Elazar, because according to Rabbi Elazar, why would we say that Me'ilah no longer applies? A copy of the Shasayokaim. According to what Rabbi Elazar is telling us, that you have to take it out after 70 years, and you still have to burn it in the Azara, that means, according to him, it still has Kedusha. So why wouldn't Me'ilah apply to it anymore just because it was poured down? And the answer is, I feel the same in Rabbi Elazar. No, you could say that that Mishnah still works according to Rabbi Elazar as well. Because again, Ein Lecha Davar, Shanasa Mitzvah, Seir Merlin Bay, you'd never find something that the Mitzvah was done with it, and Me'ilah should still apply. So it's true that there is a secondary mitzvah to burn it, but the primary mitzvah is to pour it on a mizbeach, and once that's accomplished, then even Rabbi Elazar might agree that Me'ilah no longer applies. Even though it's true, once they take it out, then fine, they also need to burn it in the Azara because it still has some residual kedusha. Tosfos refers over here to actually, in the Gemara over there in Me'ilah, it brings yet another version of the discussion where one of them is the Gemara ends up saying that even though we have a pasuk b'kodesh hatzech nesach, really that's only an asmachta, and really the whole concept that you have to burn it over there is only in the Drabbanan. It's only an asmachta on the pasuk. But Tosfos says what we have over here is really the better version. Maybe what we have over there is not really the correct one or something. Okay. Fine. More about the Nesachim. Amar Shlokish, Vizman Sheminaschim Yain, Agabi HaMizbeach, when they poured the wine on the Mizbeach, Poitikines Ashisim. While they were doing that, they would close up, they would stuff up the Shisim. So you have the hole on top of the Mizbeach. So again, Rashi is following what he explained before, that the way it worked was you poured it into the bowls on top of the Mizbeach, and then from each bowl there was stuck out a tube that then it would flow onto the Mizbeach and from there into the Shisin. So you have a hole on top of the Mizbeach that leads down to the Shisin. According to Tosfos, we said it went from the bowls directly down into the Shisin. Anyway, they would stuff those up, they would plug those up in order that when you're pouring in the wine, then it looks very full. That way also we're fulfilling what we said, that in the holy place we pour a libation of intoxicating wine to Hashem. The Gemara says, my mashma, where do you get anything from that pasuk about plugging up the shisim? Amar Papa, Shecher, Loshen Shia, because the word Shecher in the pasuk, it means drinking. Like when a person drinks intoxicating wine, loshen svia, but it's also an expression of being full, like when a person drinks wine and feels full, loshen shichrus, and it's an expression of being drunk. So therefore, in other words, so what you want is, how does a person feel? So Amar Papa, Shmamina, we see from this that we're saying that we want to plug up the shisin so that it looks all full. And then what's going to happen is when you remove the plug, then all the wine is going to drain out very fast. Shmamina, we see that. Sava inish chamra, when a person gets satisfied by wine, migroine sava, the primary way of getting satisfied by it is by drinking in big gulps. Not by drinking a little bit. In other words, when it comes to food, it's not like that. Whether you eat the same amount of food all at once or whether you eat it piecemeal, it's still going to fill you up the same way. I mean, as long as you eat it within a reasonable amount of time, kedachilas pras, let's say. But when it comes to drinking wine, the Papa is telling us, you see from this discussion, not like that. If you sip a little bit and then a little bit later you sip some more, that's not going to help you feel fuller and intoxicated and whatever. How is it going to be? Only when you drink a big gulp at once. So therefore, so by the Mizbeach, we want to do that. We want to make it that you plug up the Shisin temporarily, and that way you have, like, now you have a huge amount that's now going to be, so to speak, gulped down when you remove the plug. And that way you're Mekayim Sheikhar Lashem. Amar Rava, so Rava says in this connection, Suva Mirabonan Dolan Fishalei Chamra, a young Talmud Chacham who doesn't have very much wine, Ligma Gamui, what he should do is, for that reason, when he is drinking wine, then he should drink in large gulps, and that way he'll get the maximum effect out of the wine. Now, we don't want a Talmud Chacham to get drunk, per se, but we do have, on the other hand, Rava himself, for example, says, in a Gemara elsewhere, that wine, among other things, helped open up my mind to Torah. So a moderate amount of drinking is good for a Talmud Chacham, and therefore we're saying, in order to get maximum value out of it, you should drink it in large gulps. And, for example, Rava, Kosa de Berchasa, Agma Gamui. Rava, when he had a Kostra Bracha, for example, for benching or whatever, he would do that. He would drink it in large gulps to show how precious the mitzvah is to him. Now, that's all according to Rashi. Marsha learns exactly the opposite. Marsha points out the word gmiya that we're using over here in the Gemara, on the face of it, seems to imply small sips. And he brings from a Gemara in Shabbos that seems to imply that. You have also, for example, the story with Eliezer Eved Avraham, where he comes over to Rivka and asks to hagmini na matmayim, let me drink a little water. The pashtus is, he's not asking to gulp down a huge amount. So therefore, just the opposite. Gmiya should mean tiny sips. So he learns exactly the other way around. The verb is, you plug up the holes on the Mizbeach in such a way, he says, that the wine trickles down slowly. And the same way, when it comes to drinking wine, just the opposite. You get the full effect of it by drinking a little bit at a time, a sip at a time. However, different achronim point out different problems with that explanation of Marsha. One of them is the Orochoner says, on the other hand, by Eliezer, for example, if the word gmiya itself means a sip, then why is he saying ma'af mayim? Hagmi'ini by itself would imply a little bit. So no, so they say, let's stick with what Rashi is saying, that gmiya means a large amount, and it means, in other words, that they plug up the holes in such a way that you should have a large amount flowing down all at once. So like the entire shis, when you remove the plug, the entire width of the shis is completely full of wine, and that's like the equivalent of a person drinking a large gulp of wine and completely filling up his throat. Okay. Next, Darash Rava. Now, we had on Omer Aleph, we talked about the Pasuk Chamuke Yerechayich, which we talked about was a remez on the Shisim. So now that's the second half of a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Let's talk about the first half now. Darash Rava, my dichtiv, my yofu from mayach ban olim, how beautiful are your footsteps in shoes, bas nadiv, the daughter of the nadiv. Nadiv literally means a generous person or a person who, or a volunteer. So what does that mean? My yofu pan is saying, shall Yisrael, v'shar sha'olim l'regel, means how beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people when they come on aliyah l'regel. And when it says bas nadiv, what does it mean? The daughter of the volunteer, bas means bite shel Avraham Avinu, you Jewish people who are the daughters of Avraham Avinu, kenikra nadiv, where Avraham is called the nadiv, the volunteer. Shenemar, and we know that because we have a different pasuk, nidive amim, one of the pasukim that we say before Tkiyas Shofar, nidive amim ne'esahu, the volunteers of the people have gathered together. Amalekei Avraham, the people of the God of Avraham. So why do we mention specifically Elekei Avraham? Elekei Avraham, v'lo Elekei Yitzchak v'Yaakov. What is Hashem only the God of Avraham? What happened to Yitzchak and Yaakov? Ela, Elekei Avraham, shayitzchilu l'gevin. What we were focusing on Avraham, because he was the first of the Gerim, he was the first to volunteer to become a Ger and to discover the Eibishter. So therefore, when we say Bas Nadiv, then we're referring to that the Jewish people have a special connection with Avraham Avinu. So why particularly are we focusing on Avraham Avinu in connection with Aliyah L'Regel? So Marsha points out, because you also have, really, when you think about it, Avraham was the first one to also make Aliyah L'Regel. He came to Har HaMoriah together with Yitzchak and was ready to offer Yitzchak as a carbon, which is like what we do in later times in Aliyah L'Regel. So therefore, the Pasuk is making an association between the Jewish people doing that and Avraham Avinu. There's another explanation also that another explanation also is that when the Jewish, so what did Avraham do? Lech lecha me'aretzecha mimolatecha me'beis avicha. He abandons his family and his father's house and everything and sets out where Hashem tells him. And in a similar way, when the Jewish people go on Aliyah L'Regel, they do something similar also. They leave their houses, they leave their farms, they leave their everything just in order to go on Aliyah L'Regel. Therefore, there's a special association with Avraham Avinu. Also, this that we're associating with Gerim, there are a number of places where it talks about the idea that the Jewish people going on Aliyah L'Regel promotes that they become more Gerim. One example is Rashi mentions in Parshas in Rezais HaBracha, in the Bracha of Zvulun, that Zvulun was a trader, so he's trading merchandise with many different nations, and you have people, and then they think to themselves, you know what, we're dealing with Jews, let's go see what their religion is like, let's go see what their temple is like, and so on and so forth, and they end up being very impressed and becoming Gerim, so therefore, so you have a certain connection between Aliyah L'Regel and becoming a Ger. That these people come to the Beis Mikdash, not even Aliyah L'Regel yet, because they're still Goyim, but they're impressed enough to become Gerim, so in the same vein, we're saying over here that when the Jewish people go on Aliyah L'Regel, then it impresses people among the Goyim, and they become Gerim. So therefore, we're also associating with Avraham Avinu, who was the first of the Gerim. So now let's get back to the second half of that pasuk, Chamuka Yerechayah. So now he's going to understand it differently than we did on Amud Aleph. On Amud Aleph, we said that the words Chamuka Yerechayah, the secret, the hidden parts of your thighs, we said referred to the Shisin, Yerechayah, referred to the Mizbeach itself, where we said Kamei Chaloyim, they're like a hollowed out thing, Masi De Amon, that was made by the master craftsman Hashem. Now we're going to understand it differently. Chamuka Yerechayich, again, means the hidden parts of your thighs, and we're going to explain in a second what that means. He's going to refer it to the luchos. So Kamoi Chaloyim, they are like jewels, because the luchos were made out of precious stone, out of sapphire. And Masi Yidei Avon, because they were made by Hashem's hand, by luchos Masi Elikim Ema. So why are we comparing the Torah to Lama Nimshalu Divrei Torah to Yerech? Why is the Torah being compared to a thigh? So the reason is Loi Malach Ma Yerech B'Seser. Just like a thigh is kept hidden, at Divrei Torah B'Seser, the same way words of Torah should be kept hidden. What does that mean? In other words, when you're teaching Talmidim, don't be sitting out in the middle of the street. For example, I'm teaching them. You teach them privately in the Beis Medrash. And it's the cupboard of the Torah that way, like you're not making it like something that you're just advertising in public, like an advertising jingle or something. With that said, actually, it's not so simple. The Gemara in Moed Katan talks about it's not so simple. There are times when it is appropriate to be sitting out in the middle of the street and disseminating Torah. But here we're talking about from one point of view. Is that they should be kept hidden. You sit in the Beis Medrash and learn rather than out in the middle of the street. So Vahainu, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, this is like what Rabbi Lazar says about other mitzvahs where we also find that there's an importance of keeping them secret. My dichtiv, higid lecha adam matoiv, the Pasuk says, we have it in our Torah, Parshas Balak, he's told you, human being, what is good. And people have told you what's good, or Hashem has told you previously what's good for you to do. Uma Hashem derish mincha. What is Hashem actually looking for from you? Ki im asos mishpat. Hashem wants you to do justice. Va'avas chesed, and to love doing chesed. Va'atznei aleches im alekecha, and to go and to walk in a tzniyistic way with Hashem. So what does that mean? Asos mishpat zehadin. The word asos mishpat means to do justice, to decide cases fairly. It also includes, in other words, it says that when a person measures out, then it's like a miniature din, so you have to be careful to measure honestly, so it includes all those sorts of things. V'avas chesed zugmilas chasadim. Avas chesed refers to doing gmilas chasadim, which the Gemara is going to explain soon, that gmilas chasadim means more than just tzedakah. It includes all the various other kinds of chesed that a person can do, some of which in a way are greater than tzedakah. So that's avas chesed. V'atznei aleches im alekecha, and when it says to go in a tzniyistic way, in a modest, concealed way with Hashem, That refers to a levaya and a wedding. Rashi explains both of those things are described in a different pasuk with the shirdish lich. You have Torah leches el beis evil mi leches el beis mishta. So therefore, when we say over here vatnei leches imalekecha, that's meant to create an association with that other pasuk that the leches we're talking about over here is weddings and levayas. So even then, you need hatsneya. What does that mean? Rashi says two possibilities. Number one, it means is that you need to be discreet as far as how much you do. As far as by the wedding, that you eat a normal amount, you don't overeat or overdrink, and then get silly. And as far as the avelus, the other way around, that you mourn in the appropriate amount rather than going overboard. Then Rashi's second explanation, which he says is also supported by Shiltus, is suppose you have to donate money. You have a poor person passed away and they can't afford the levaya, or a poor person is getting married and they can't afford the wedding expenses. So you're helping pay for it. Do it vitsina. Don't do it in a public way. Let everybody know what you did. It would embarrass the other person and you're taking too much credit for yourself and so forth. So therefore, do it in a tzniastic way. So v'haloy dvarim kavachomer. So now, continues Rebbe Elazar, we can make a kavachomer. Things like that, like weddings and funerals, which are usually done publicly, and still the Torah tells you to use a certain discretion in them and don't do them so publicly, make your part of it more hidden. Well, then other things that are to begin with usually done with tzina. For example, Rashi says giving tzedakah to a poor person, you don't need to inform everybody else. So when it comes to a mess and a kala, you have other people involved, so they know that you paid. So therefore, it's not really possible to keep it completely secret. But for example, by tzedakah, regular tzedakah, where nobody else has to know about it, then for sure you need to keep it secret. So by the same token, that applies as far as teaching Torah, that it can be done in a way of tzina rather than sitting out in the middle of the marketplace and teaching. Again, as the Gemara says in Moed Katan, we'll learn in a couple of months, Beis Hashem, there are certain circumstances that it depends on. This Gemara is not actually the last word on the subject. Okay. Amar Rebbe Elazar, more on this topic of tzedakah, Rebbe Elazar says, God the law is a tzedakah goes in the kol hakarbonos. A person who brings tzedakah is greater than somebody who brings all the karbonos. Shenema asoy tzedakah u'mishpat. As the pasuk says, doing tzedakah and mishpat nivchal Hashem mizavach is more chosen by Hashem than a korban. And a zebach, Rashi explains, means any kind of korban. All of them go under the general heading of zebach. Now, so how do we know it doesn't mean tzedakah and mishpat? Maharsha explains, because the word nivchar is lashon yachid. If it meant both of them, it would have said nivcharim, or nivcharu, or whatever. So that it says nivchar, but lashon yachid means that of these two things, specifically, one of them is greater than a zevach, and that would be tzedakah. V'amen abalazah, g'doyla g'milus chasadim, yosim na tzedakah. G'milus chasadim is greater than tzedakah. Shenema zero lachem l'tzedakah, keeps real free chasid. The pasuk says, plant for yourselves tzedakah, and harvest according to chesed. Now, you have to consider, Rebbe Elazar says, im adam zereya, when a person plants, sofek oichel, sofek ein oichel, then you don't know whether he's going to end up eating it or not. What if the crop gets damaged by one or another natural disaster? Adam koitze, vada oichel, but when a person harvests, then he has more of a certainty that he's going to eat. So the same way, in other words, tzedakah, regular tzedakah, is being compared to planting. Chesed is being compared to harvesting, and therefore you have much more of a certainty that you're going to get something back for what you did. So in that sense, it's greater. The Amar Rebbe Elazar, ain't tzedakah mishtalemes ela lefi chesed shabbat. If tzedakah gets paid, the reward for tzedakah is paid back to a person only according to the chesed. Which means, in other words, Rashi says, so you have tzedakah, you give something to a poor person, but then you have to consider the chesed that's involved, which is the tircha that you put into it. You're not just dropping a coin in a pushka or into the guy's collection box or whatever. You're actually putting some effort into it. So Rashi explains, in other words, that you're putting the chesed is that you're putting in some effort to make sure that what you're giving him will have the greatest effect, that he'll get the biggest bang for his buck. So you're not just giving him money stam, you're working in such a way. For example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, you give him ready to eat food or clothing. So he doesn't have to go and find a place to buy it in different places. They're going to charge different amounts. Or another example, Rashi says, let's say you're giving him money, so you give it to him at a time when prices are low, and that way he gets the most, for that money that you're giving him. So those are all examples of chesed within tzedakah, where therefore the tzedakah is paid back according to the chesed that you put into it. Shenema, the same thing. Ziru lachem l'tzedakah, kitzru l'fi chesed. The pasuk says, plant for yourself tzedakah, harvest according to chesed. So in other words, you're going to receive a schar according to the amount of chesed that you put into it. There's a sicha once where the Rebbe pointed out, I mean, in a way, you know, gmilas chasadim includes a lot of different things, and among them is lending a person money. So in that sense, you would argue, why is that greater than tzedakah, like we said before, on the face of it? You give him tzedakah, he's not going to have to pay back. When you lend him money, which is one kind of gmilas chasadim, he and he is going to have to pay it back. Why is that greater? And the answer is fine, but at least that way, you also have the chesed that we're talking about in it is that he's not as embarrassed, that he's not getting something for free, he's not receiving nama b'kisufa, and therefore in that sense it's greater. So Tanan Rabbanan, v'shloisha dvarim g'dayla g'milus chasadim yosim in tzedakah. There are three ways in which g'milus chasadim is greater than tzedakah. Number one, tzedakah b'mamayna. Tzedakah specifically involves giving money or something that has monetary value. G'milus chasadim ben b'gufa ben mamayna. Milas chasadim can involve the person's actual body. For example, participating in a levaya, or mesameh chasen v'kala, or escorting somebody on the way, malava him on the way, a guest. So all those things are done with a person's guf rather than just with his money. Number two, tzedakah b'mamayna, tzedakah la'aniyim. Tzedakah specifically is for poor people. Milas chasadim, bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. And milas chasadim is for both poor and rich, because rich people also sometimes need milas chasadim. And tzedakah l'chayim. Tzedakah is specifically for the living. Milas chasadim, bein l'chayim, bein l'maisim. Milas chasadim is for both. Because again, for example, you participate in the levaya, that's a chesed toward the mess. And in fact, it's a chesed shel emes, as Rashi mentions on the pasuk, because you're not going to get back, the mess is not going to be able to repay you. So in those senses, it's greater. Now, you also have the fact that that Gemilas Chasadim is one of the things we say in morning davening, in Elul Dvarim, Va'keren Kayemes Lo Lelem Abba, but Marashah says we're not mentioning that point over here because we're focusing on the three ways where the action is greater. We're not talking about the ways in which Schar is greater. So the action itself has those three advantages over Tzedakah. V'amar Rav Elazar, Kola Oset Tzedakah O Mishpat, Kilo Mile Kola Olam Kola Chesed. When a person does tzedakah and mishpat, and that includes, for example, that he does tzedakah in the right amounts, and mishpat also includes, for example, that he gives to the right kind of people, as we're going to talk about soon. So then, when he does that, it's as if he filled up the whole world with chesed. Shenema oyhev tzedakah o mishpat, as the pasuk says, he loves tzedakah and mishpat. Chesed Hashem mala haaretz, the kindness of Hashem fills up the world. Shema Toma Kalabol Lichbots Kaifit. So you're going to think that anybody who wants to jump into that and do tzedakah should jump right in and expect that Hashem is going to give him deserving poor people, is going to make available to him deserving poor people to give tzedakah to. After all, not everybody who asks for tzedakah is deserving. Sometimes you have outright swindlers who ask for tzedakah. So a person might think that if I'm committing to give tzedakah, automatically Hashem is going to make that there are proper recipients available. No. Talmud Lema, my yoko chas techo elikim, chesed Hashem ala arts. Now the pasuk says, how precious is your chesed Hashem? Implying that it's something precious, it's something that you have to make some, you have to put some effort into finding. Yochalach Yirei Shemayim Kain. You would think the same thing is true of a Yorei Shemayim, that he also needs to put in a lot of effort in order to find deserving poor people. No, Tamad Lema, the Chesed Hashem Me'olam Vad Olam Al Yireyav. Therefore, no, the Pasuk says the Chesed of Hashem is from the beginning to the end of the world on those who fear him, meaning in other words, a person who developed Yiras Shemayim, then Hashem helps him to begin with, that he's going to find right away Erlecha poor people, unlike a regular person who's going to have to put in a lot of effort for that. Maharsha explains a different point also. You have the famous Braisa of the Pinchas Ben Yor that we have at the end of Soja and in Avodah Zarah and a couple of places, Zahirus Mivir the Dezrizus, Zahirus Mivir the Dezrizus, etc. The whole chain of things, how one Midah Tova leads to the next one. In fact, the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim is based on that Braisa, and he explains what each of those means in a person's Avodah. Anyway, you have over there, among the later stages are Yiras Shemayim, or Yirei Chet, whatever, and Chassidus. So therefore, you know, once a person has reached Yiras Chet, then Chassidus is much, much more attainable. And in that sense, we're saying like he still has to work for it, but not as hard as a person who's someplace lower down on the ladder who's going to need a tremendous effort in order to reach Chesed, which means Chassidus. Another explanation I saw also is what it means is, so you can have a person who is naturally not a Baal Chesed. If he's also not a Yoreh Shemayim, it's going to be very difficult for him to achieve, to train himself to become a Baal Chesed. Whereas when he's already a Yoreh Shemayim, then that makes it much easier for him to transform himself. I saw, in fact, something where that's brought about Reb Chaim Brisker, where he says about him, he was known to be a big Baal Chesed, and he said about himself, I wasn't naturally that way. I had to work on myself very hard. I had to work on myself a lot in order to develop that midah of being a Baal Chesed. So that would be an example of this. A person has Yiras Shemayim, then it becomes, then Hashem makes it much easier for him. Okay. Another thing about this, about Yiras Shemayim, Amar of Chama Bapapa, Kol Adam Shiyesh Olav Chain, any person who has Chain, who has grace on him, in other words, people see him and they like him, but you do, Shu Yiras Shemayim, then you know that he's Yiras Shemayim, and therefore Hashem gives him that. Shanim Chesed, Hashem Me'olam Adoyim, Al Yireyav, as we said, that Hashem's Chesed is forever and ever on those who fear him. So when a person fears Hashem, when a person has Yiras Shemayim, then Hashem gives him a certain chain b'chesed that people like him, like on first sight. Like you have by Esther, for example, like Esther knows his chain the Enei Korea, that kind of thing. V'omrabal as a my dichtiv pia poscha b'chochma. What does the pasuk mean? In Eishes Chayil, she opens her mouth with Chochma, v'sodas chesed al l'shona, and the Torah of kindness is on her lips, is on her tongue. So what do you mean, v'sodas chesed, as opposed to what kind? V'chiyesh Torah shol chesed, v'yesh Torah shol eino shol chesed. Is there a Torah of chesed and a Torah that's not of chesed? What does it mean? Ella, Torah l'shma zuhi Torah shol chesed. When a person learns Torah for the right reason to connect with the Eibishter, then that's a Torah of chesed, because that brings chesed into the world. Shaloi l'shma zuhi Torah shol enoch chesed, whereas when he's learning not l'shma, then it's a Torah that's not of chesed. Tosfos in a few places in Shas explains that there's two different levels of Torah l'shma. There's Torah, or the Torah Shaloi l'shma, rather. There's Torah Shaloi l'shma, for example, a person learns Torah because it's interesting, or because he wants to be famous, or whatever. So that's, it's Shaloi l'shma, but it's not such a bad Shaloi l'shma. And on that, the Gemara says, Mitosh Shaloi l'shma, Bo l'shma. Then you have the kind, which is called Lakanter, where a person learns Torah in order to be able to use it to attack other people. For example, he's going to learn Torah, let's say he's going to find out different loopholes in halacha that he can use to take advantage of other people, or that he's going to use it to be argumentative against people and so forth. So that kind of thing, that shaloi l'shma, that the Gemara has some very negative things to say in other places. So the pashtus, when we're talking about it, we hear the Torah, it's not of chesed, the pashtus, and we're saying shaloi l'shma, the pashtus would mean the first time. The second time wouldn't even qualify as Torah at all, really, apparently. Okay. Ikadamri, Torah Lamdo, Zuri Torah Shokhat. That another version is that when a person is learning Torah in order to teach it to others, that's a Torah of Chesed. And that's why it says, Al-Lashoina, that it's on his tongue, that he's going to be able to use his tongue to tell it to other people. Shaloi Lalamda, if he's learning Torah, not for the sake of teaching it, Zuri Torah, She'ena Shal Chesed, then that's a Torah that's not of Chesed. It's still a Torah, but it's not the highest quality thing. okay, let's learn one more piece. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah. Okay, so to summarize, in other words, what do we have so far from this piece? We talk about the Shishin, different opinions, how they come to be and how far down underground they go. We talked about then, is there a possibility of grabbing the wine from there afterwards, such that Me'ilah should be a possibility? We said, according to the Balazim of Tzadik, yes, because it lands on a stone floor. According to the Chachamim, you could be talking about where somebody put a keli inside there and caught it or something. And then we talked about plugging up the Shishin so that the wine goes down all at once, all in a gush, according to Rashi and the Oruch Haner and others, or that it goes down a little bit at a time, like Marsha. And we talked about the tznius that you need to do with various mitzvahs, including teaching Torah, and various statements about tzedakah and chesed. Okay, so now getting back to halacha, the Mishnah had said k'maaseo b'chol kol, the same way as they did nisuch hamayim on weekdays, they did on Shabbos, except we said what they did is they had to fill up the water out of Shabbos, because you can't carry it on Shabbos. They would put it in a golden barrel, and then we said the barrel had to be not a kli shoris. So the question is why? But am I nice even kodeshus? Why can't we bring the water in a barrel that is a kli shoris? Now, it's true, of course, we know that a kli shoris is going to make anything that stays in it overnight possible, but the Gemara is assuming that Number one, in order for the kli to be mekadesh it, you have to have das, you have to want the keli to be mekadesh it. So fine, you don't specifically think that it should be mekadesh it, then it won't. Or another possibility is, we're talking about a barrel. We said in the Mishnah that you use three lugim for nisuch hamayim, or according to the Yehuda, you use one lug. So all you do is you fill up more than that, and then, so it's only gonna be mekadesh, only if you put in there the proper amount. So why don't we do that? And then it could be a kli shoris. The answer is Omer Ze'iri. Kasava ein shiur lamayim. Number one, the Tana of our Mishnah that mentions that it has to be a kli that's not Makodesh holds there's no maximum shiur for the water. Yes, we said three logim, or one log according to Rabbi Yehuda. But the Torah never actually specifies what the amount is. So no matter how much you put in there, it still could all be used for nisuch hamayim. You're not going to be over if you put more than three logim. So all of it is suitable for nisuch hamayim, and therefore the keli is going to be mekadesh. Or klei shoris mekadesh and shalei ladas, and the klei shoris is going to be mekadesh even if you didn't have intention for the keli to be mekadesh. So if you specifically said I don't want it to be mekadesh, fine, it's one thing. But if you put it in there stam, not saying one way or the other, then the keli would be mekadesh. Therefore, the problem is the mice, the kodeshes. So therefore, if you put the water in a kli shoris, ipsilahu belina, then it's going to become possible by lina overnight, and the whole point is you need it for tomorrow morning. So that's one reason why we need a keli that's not a kli shoris. Chizkiya says there's a different reason why, not necessarily, maybe in fact, that in Shir Lamayim, yeah, you can get from that, but about the Kli Shoris, about Ladas, not necessarily. Kli Shoris in Makadish Elamidas. No, in fact, the Kli Shoris is only going to be Makadish what you put in it, only if you had Das that it should. But the reason why we're here, we don't want you to fill up with a Kli Shoris, We have to make a gzera though, because if somebody sees that you take it from a kli shoris, he's going to think that they put them in there yesterday on Friday with the das that should be mekadesh them, and he sees later on that we're pouring on the mizbeach, so he's going to think that lina does not apply to nesachim, and that's going to be a problem. So gzera shemayim ladas niskadshu, we make a gzera because people might not realize that it was put into the barrel shaloi ladas. They might think it was actually put in there ladas that you specifically had in mind that the keli should be mekadesh them, and then they're seeing, but it was put in there on Friday and you're pouring it on Shabbos. Must be the person is going to say to himself that lina doesn't apply to nesachim, and that would be a problem. Even a third possibility. You could even say that maybe there is a shear for the water, namely that the nisuch hamayim must be three logim, no more and no less. and Clay Shardis and Makadish and Amidas. We might even say that Clay Shardis are Makadish only if you have the Das for it. So in that case, what's the problem? You're filling up much more than three Logim and you don't have Das. What's the problem? But we have a different Gzera that people might think that you filled up the barrel not for Nisuch HaMayim, but rather for Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim of the Kohen Gadol. Now, for that, you definitely need water that was in a Kli Shardis. So most of the Kohenim washed from the Kiyur, but on Yom Kippur, we learned in Yuma that the Kohen would wash his Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim from a golden pitcher. And in fact, there was an opinion there, I think Rabbi Yehuda, that said that all year round he would. So the same way over here, you have a golden barrel that was filled up with water. People are going to think it's for Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim. There's no maximum shear. So when people see instead that you're pouring that water on the Mizeach, they're going to think that Lina doesn't matter with water for Kiddush HaDayim V'Raglayim or for Nesachim. So even though you're only pouring three Lugim, they're going to still think that Lina makes no difference in Nesachim HaKosher, even with Lina, and that could create problems. So therefore, for any of these reasons, we don't want to put it in a Kli Shardis. Therefore, we want to make sure that this golden barrel is not a Kli Shardis. Okay, and we'll finish up the paddock tomorrow, Bas Hashem, and yeah.